Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sa, talking to you from CITR Station at UBC Point Grey Campus, located in the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. This week, we have a very special episode for all of you, and that is the case because I'll be reviewing two films, Nope and The Gray Man. That being said, this whole episode is going to be accompanied by music from the movie Nope, and without further ado, let's jump right into our first musical break, and let's go listen to This is The Lost Generation by The Lost Generation. And here it is.
Grandma, your generation believed in talk, scared of the very steps in which you walked. Hey, father, listen to all that was said. Set in, leaving mouths unfed. And then you came along and tried to use your own head and think another way. Oh, but the thought was deep within your mind that you would soon be free one day. But it was just a mere thought, because you decided to lay. Then came me with a brand new thing, and all types of different views. And after you rejected me, we became the front page news.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Mm.
Welcome back to Take One. I hope you enjoyed that musical break, but now it is time to jump into our first review of the day, and that is a review of Jordan Peele's Nope. So Nope was directed by Jordan Peele, and it follows OJ and Emerald Haywood as they discover something in the sky that might be a bit out of this world. And the first thing that I have to say is that this will be a spoiler-free review. So if you haven't watched the movie and you're afraid of spoilers, don't worry. I'm going to try my best not to include any spoiler in this review. So before I give you all my thoughts about Nope, I will first begin by letting you all know what I thought of Jordan Peele's previous films, starting with 2017's Get Out. So I thought Get Out was really freaking great. It has some very poignant political commentary. What I love the most about Get Out is just how tight and, you know, great the script is. Like, there's not an ounce of fat. Everything is necessary. Everything is important. There's some great setup, some great payoff. Honestly, the script of Get Out is so freaking great that I have been taught about this script in two separate screenwriting classes here in university. So I thought Get Out was great, a great directorial debut, and I really, really enjoyed it. Now, his second film, Us, is a film that I personally really freaking love. I would honestly say it's one of my favorite horror movies. I honestly believe that the opening sequence of Us in the House of Mirrors is, hands down, one of the best horror opening sequences ever. On top of that, you also have Lupita Nyong'o giving one of the best performances ever, in my opinion. And yeah, you know, even though most people say that Us disappointed them in the third act, I don't know, for some reason, it always worked for me, and this is a film that I really, really enjoy. So considering how much I loved Get Out and Us, I was very, very excited for Nope. I thought the trailers looked absolutely amazing, and I thought everything that I learned about the film just, you know, kept impressing me more and more. Therefore, after having seen the film, I can honestly say that I absolutely loved Nope. And I would honestly go as far as to say that I think it is one of the best movies of the year so far, and it is yet another great horror movie from Jordan Peele. Which brings me to the first point, and that is that Nope is, without a doubt, a Jordan Peele film. And throughout the film, you can find all of the authorial signatures that you've come to associate with a Jordan Peele movie. Like, for instance, Nope, just like his previous films, blends many different genres. You know, Get Out and Us are incredible blends of horror, comedy, and science fiction. And now, Nope takes it even a step further by blending, yes, horror, comedy, and science fiction, but also adding an element of Western. And yeah, I really, really liked it. Another authorial signature that can be found as Nope is his iconic poignant political and social commentary. So, you know, Get Out criticized white liberal racism, Us criticized the horrific duality of the American dream and the us versus them mentality, and now, in Nope, Jordan Peele is criticizing the extents of human greed and how we're constantly exploiting tragic events for money. In a weird way, like, you know, just as a little side note, I honestly believe that this film, Nope, it thematically reminds me a lot of a great film from 1951 called Ace in the Hole. You know, a great film written and directed by Billy Wilder. And by the way, if you've watched Nope and you really like Nope and you love those themes and the exploration of human greed, I would highly recommend you to check out Ace in the Hole because it is truly an amazing, amazing film. Another authorial signature that can be found as Nope is the particular importance of murder weapons in Jordan Peele films. So, you know, Get Out is a film that criticizes white liberal racism, and in this film, characters are killed with the widest of weapons. Like, you literally have characters killing people with a bocce ball and a deer head. Us criticizes the fact that there are two different Americas, one for the haves and one for the have-nots, and the characters are killed with symbols of wealth and of the American upper class. You know, in Us, you have characters killing people with golf clubs, with a boat, with a decorative gemstone, and with a car. Similarly, in the same way, Nope criticizes the exploitation of tragic events for monetary purposes, and the first object that kills somebody in this film is very, very symbolic. For obvious reasons, I'm not going to tell you what this object is, and I'm not going to tell you how it plays out, because that would be a spoiler, but I'm just letting you know that the first object, the first item that kills someone in this film is very symbolic, and it once again demonstrates that Jordan Peele cares a lot about the weapons and about the items that are used to kill characters in his films. The last authorial signature that I would like to highlight is the use of biblical quotes in order to underline social commentary. This is something that I felt Jordan Peele did particularly well in Us, and once again, he brings them back. He brings back those quotes from the Bible for Nope, And it works. It really underlines the message that Jordan Peele is trying to convey. So even though in Get Out there are no biblical quotes, or at least none that I can remember, Us contains a biblical quote that is all about humans worshipping fake gods, you know, Jeremiah 11:11, which is a biblical quote that keeps coming up over and over again throughout the film. And yeah, in Us, Jordan Peele uses this biblical quote very effectively in order to underline the fact that Americans are also worshipping a fake god, money. Similarly, Nope contains a biblical quote that is also very important for the film. You know, Nope begins with a biblical quote that is all about the horrific nature of spectacles. And yeah, in Nope, Jordan Peele uses this biblical quote in order to underline the fact that spectacles are often very exploitative and they have a dark side that we don't really see. So yeah, Nope is without a doubt a Jordan Peele film. And honestly, it's been really fascinating to see Jordan Peele develop such a unique and such an authentic authorial voice only in his first three films. Like, I can't wait to see what Jordan Peele does next and how his authorial voice and how his authorial signatures keep evolving, growing, and changing. But so far, it's been great, and I'm in for the ride. Now, the second point that I want to make is that Nope really, really reminded me of a Steven Spielberg blockbuster in the best way possible. Like, honestly, just like a Steven Spielberg blockbuster, Nope is big. It is full of spectacle and a sense of wonder, and it also contains some incredible horror moments that I will never forget. More specifically, Nope reminded me a lot of two Steven Spielberg films, and the first one of these movies is 1982's Poltergeist. And I know what you're thinking, Juan, Poltergeist was directed by Tobe Hooper. Yes, it was technically directed by Tobe Hooper. That said, Steven Spielberg did write and produce it. And if I'm being honest, Poltergeist feels a lot more like a Steven Spielberg film than it does a Tobe Hooper movie. And yeah, there are some story elements in Nope that really reminded me of some story elements from Poltergeist. Of course, I'm not going to jump into them and I'm not going to discuss them because that would be a spoiler. That being said, I honestly don't believe that the similarities with Poltergeist are a coincidence. After all, there's a line in Nope that is literally a reference to a line from Poltergeist. Now, the second Steven Spielberg film that Nope really reminded me of is Jaws, in the best way possible. And yeah, just like Jaws, Nope is also very much a slow burn. And just like Jaws, you don't really see the monster until the very end. And that is something that I really, really love. You know, just like in Jaws, Steven Spielberg hides the shark for the first two acts. And you know, what do you see of the shark? It's very limited. You know, you see little bits and pieces and it is always obscured. It is always in the shadow. You never really get like a big, proper, good look at the shark. And I think Jordan Peele does something very similar with the antagonist, the monster, whatever it is, from Nope. And I think it is very effective and it really freaking works. Honestly, the best way I could describe Nope is as an inverse version of Jaws. You know, Steven Spielberg made us fear the ocean. You know, he made us fear looking down and looking into the water and not knowing what could be in there. Now, in Nope, Jordan Peele is making us fear looking up at the sky, you know, looking up at the clouds and not knowing what could be there. And I think both of those films are very effective and are very successful in what they set out to do. Now, my labeling of Nope as inverse Jaws goes even further. And there is one scene, you know, there is one element from Nope that really, really reminded me of Jaws. And I would be very impressed if this was not intentional from Jordan Peele's part. There is that great scene from Jaws that everyone remembers where Quint, you know, harpoons a couple of barrels to the shark. And you don't see the shark is underwater, but you do see the barrels, and you see the barrels floating in the water and dipping and coming up. And in a weird way, that is even scarier than seeing the shark, because you know the shark is down there. You know the shark is under those barrels. So yeah, in a weird way, Steven Spielberg is able to make you fear a freaking barrel just, you know, floating in the water. In Nope, Jordan Peele does something that is very, very similar because, you know, just like in Jaws, you have, you know, the barrels and, you know, the barrels represent the monster and you don't see the monster, but you do see the barrels floating in the water. Here in Nope, you have a rope with a bunch of tiny little flags and the rope is dangling from the villain. It is dangling from the monster and you don't see the monster, but you do see the rope just floating down from the clouds and moving and levitating. And yeah, it produces the same effect. It produces the same fear that I feel when I watch Jaws and I see that freaking barrel. So yeah, honestly, the best way I could describe Nope is as an inverse version of Jaws. And I really freaking loved it. And me comparing Nope to Jaws and comparing Jordan Peele and what he does to what Steven Spielberg does, is honestly, I think, a pretty good comparison, because I honestly believe that both Steven Spielberg and Jordan Peele understand something essential from horror. They understand that we as human beings fear what we can't see a lot more than what we actually can see, because we don't understand it, because we don't see it, we can't see it. And due to the fact that we can't see it, our minds run wild. You know, Steven Spielberg used that to perfection in the first two acts of Jaws, where we barely see the shark. We don't see the shark, so our mind runs wild. We imagine all these weird things and all these hypothetical scenarios of how the shark looks like. And similarly, Jordan Peele does a similar thing in Nope. What we see of the antagonist is very minimal. Now, before I give you all my conclusion about Nope, the last thing that I have to say are my only two criticisms about this film. And I'm being deadly serious, these are my only two criticisms, because I absolutely adored the film. So the first criticism that I have is the fact that throughout this film, there is a storyline that, I'm not going to reveal anything about it, but there is a storyline involving a chimp that keeps coming back to the film over and over again. And my one problem with the chimp storyline is, don't get me wrong, everything with the chimp worked. Every scene with him really freaking worked, and I really freaking loved. That said, I wish this storyline would have factored into the main storyline in a bigger way or in a more direct way towards the end. Like, I can definitely see what Jordan Peele is saying. I know why the chimp storyline is there. I know the significance. I know the importance. I just wish it would have factored into the main storyline in a more direct way. Now, my second complaint about this film is there is a character who randomly appears in the third act of the film, and he is like this weird biker guy. I think you've seen it in the trailers. And honestly, I didn't really think that character was that necessary for the story. Like, I thought, you know, his character and what he brought to the table was, you know, pretty generic, a bit dated, and not really necessary for the final story. But honestly, apart from those two minor things, apart from the fact that the chimp storyline didn't factor into the main storyline in a direct way, and apart from the fact that the biker guy didn't really quite work for me, apart from those two minor things, I think Nope was really freaking great. So yeah, in conclusion, Nope is yet another amazing horror film from Jordan Peele. It is a horrific spectacle about the horrors of spectacles, and if I were to give it a score in between 1 to 10, I would give it a 9 out of 10, which means I think this film was really, really freaking amazing. And that is it for my review of Nope. But now, before I jump into my next review, which is a review of The Gray Man, let's go into another musical break and let's go listen to Sunglasses at Night. And here it is.
Breathe your storylines. The Sweetgrass Clan is a volunteer-based coalition that provides safety, security, and essential resources to the most vulnerable members of the downtown Eastside community. In addition to providing food and safety, the Sweetgrass Clan also connects people with advocates for housing, mental health counseling, and drug and alcohol detox. The Sweetgrass Clan is always looking for new volunteers to support the downtown Eastside community and are able to offer volunteers grocery gift cards and bus tickets as honorariums. If you would like to offer your volunteer support to the Sweetgrass Clan, you can reach out via email at abfrontdoor.org or visit abfrontdoor.org.
Everybody, and welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sa, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you enjoyed that musical break, but now it is time to jump into our second and last review of the day, and that is a review of The Gray Man. So The Gray Man was directed by the Russo brothers, who have directed some films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, such as Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, and this film follows Agent 6 as he attempts to rescue the kidnapped daughter of an old friend. And the first thing that I will say about this film is that I thought it was fine. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad either. It was fine. And my main problem with this film is that I found it extremely, extremely generic. The plot is very generic. This is another action film about an agent who has to go rescue a kidnapped child. The protagonist is extremely generic. This is another action film with a mysterious, highly skilled action hero who was abused by his father in his childhood and is now an unstoppable killing machine. So yeah, this was a very generic and unoriginal film. The story is generic, the characters are generic, the plot is generic, the dialogue is generic, the villain is generic. That said, it was fine. It was enjoyable enough. Now, the second thing that I will mention about this film is that this movie is based on a book by Mark Greene, and I will just come out and say it. I haven't read the book, I've never read the book, I never even heard of the book before this film was announced. And, you know, maybe that's the reason why I think it is fine. You know, maybe if you've read the book and you're a big fan of The Gray Man and of Mark Greene's work, maybe you'll be like, oh no, this was a terrible adaptation and this was absolute rubbish. That said, I haven't read the book. I have no point of comparison. So for me, in my mind, I thought the film was fine. I thought it was enjoyable enough. I will now move on to talking about the things that I really did like about this film, because there are some things that I genuinely enjoyed and that I thought were a lot of fun. And the first thing that I would like to point out as something that I really, really enjoyed was Ryan Gosling's performance. I think Ryan Gosling is a very talented actor. I think he's really freaking great. And you know, he usually plays this very stoic and unexpressive characters. And in this film, he is playing another very stoic, mysterious, and unexpressive character. So I think Ryan Gosling's stoic performance really does work. And yeah, I thought his performance was great. He did the best with what he was given, and he has some great action scenes, which he kicks out of the park. Now, the second thing that I really enjoyed about this film was Ana de Armas' performance. And Ana de Armas, holy sh**, what a great actress. And honestly, this film, The Gray Man, is yet another movie where Ana de Armas demonstrates that she can handle action cinema, and that she is more than ready to be the lead in an action movie. You know, last year, in 2021, we had No Time to Die, where she really proved herself as Paloma. This year, she proved herself once again with The Gray Man. And yeah, I can't wait to see what she does as the lead in the John Wick ballerina spinoff that they already announced, which apparently Ana de Armas will be leading as the main actress. So yeah, I love Ana de Armas, great performance, and yeah, I thought she did the best with what she was given. Now, the third thing that I really enjoyed was Chris Evans' performance. And Chris Evans, holy shit. For me, he by far stole the show. I thought he was the best actor in the film. I thought he gave the best performance. I thought he was having the most fun throughout the film. And yeah, I could really, really feel it. You know, his character, Lloyd, was a shit ton of fun. You know, even though his lines were very generic, his delivery had so much charisma and so much personality that, yeah, it was just magnetic. Like, I really liked what he did with this character. And once again, very generic lines, very generic character, but he killed it. He gave it his all, and it really, really worked. Another thing that I have to mention about Chris Evans' performance is that he had some great action scenes. And honestly, that comes to no surprise because he already proved himself that he can handle action scenes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where he played Captain America. And it is really great to see the Russo brothers directing Chris Evans once again. Now, the last thing that I have to mention when it comes to things that I really, really enjoyed from this film are the action scenes. Because the action scenes in The Gray Man are genuinely, genuinely great. You know, the set pieces were very inventive, and there is some very creative action throughout this whole film. There is one scene in particular that I would like to highlight where Ryan Gosling is fighting against a bunch of people on a tram, and you know, he's on the roof and everyone else is on the bottom of the tram, and he's using the reflections in the buildings on the side of the street in order to be able to shoot the people through the roof, and it is really inventive, it is really creative, it is really cool, and it really freaking worked. But yeah, the action scenes in this film are really cool, they are really big, they are really explosive, they are really magnetic, and that comes to no surprise, because after all, this film was directed by the Russo brothers, and they have proven, time and time again, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that if there is one thing that they can direct, are action sequences. That being said, even though the action scenes in this film are really freaking great, for some reason, they feel hollow, they feel empty. And I honestly believe that the reason why the action scenes in this film feel so hollow and feel so empty is because we're just not invested in the characters or in the story in order to, you know, truly be invested in the action scenes, you know? For an action scene to work, you need a great story and you need great characters behind it. Because only with a great story and only with great characters will audiences truly be invested in what is happening and in every punch of an action scene. But if you don't have great characters, if you don't have a great story, then action scenes just start feeling like empty spectacle. Like spectacle for spectacle's sake. You know, there's no stakes, you don't feel the tension. And yeah, they start feeling empty and they start feeling hollow. And if I'm being honest, that was the case with The Gray Man. The action scenes were great. The choreography was amazing. They were very inventive. They were very creative. Every actor was giving it their all. That said, you're not invested in the characters. You're not invested in the story. So the action scenes just end up being hollow. So in conclusion, The Gray Man was very, very generic, but enjoyable. It was fine. And if I were to give it a score in between 1 to 10, I would give it a 6 out of 10. Which means I thought it was good. It was fine. It was enjoyable. But yeah, that's it for my review of The Gray Man. And now that the review is out of the way, let's go into another musical break and let's go listen to Exuma, The Obeah Man by Exuma. And here it is.
Na 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 take that come out of me.
Oh, yeah.
And you make it come to me.
Oh, yeah.
And she will love you.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
And when she got to running.
Oh, yeah.
Got a train on a track.
Oh, yeah.
You take some power.
Oh, yeah.
And you make some hot.
Oh, yeah.
That's gonna give you.
Oh, yeah.
Spreading your back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in coma. I'm the other. Oh, yeah.
With Pugamana, Hector Hippolyte. Oh, there's in me. I drank the water from the fiery sea. I'm in Doma.
And that would be it for this week's episode of Take One. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been your host, Juan Pablo Sa, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Take care. Goodbye.